It is Hockey Today, Sirius XM, NHL Network Radio. Nick Kern, Peterverse with you for the week. Thanks to Dan Biasma for joining us. Now he can enjoy his summer and don't have to deal with us. Okay, I like this part. Turn it up. One, two, three, four. Greetings, what a hustle-mo. All right, from Rocket the Russia from 1977, the Ramones' third album. All four members on this recording dead now. Happens to all of us. It's just a matter of time, right?
No, well, that's true.
Okay, so we go from death to Ian Cooper. There may be something, I don't know, this kind of makes sense. Boy. The Department of... Wait, what? No. No, don't you come back with your sunshine. You're the guy last hour trying to get a coach fired already. I mean, already saying who's on the hot seat. And it's July 28th. Ian Cooper from the Department of Hockey Analytics is in the studio. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me here, Mick.
You're going to sit here for two hours. Well, it seems that way. For two segments, we're going to talk some hockey. First of all, give us a snapshot for people who don't know your organization, what you do, the madness you create, and where people can find your website.
Perfect. So we are the Department of Hockey Analytics. We are two lawyers and an economics professor.
That's fun. Yeah, okay.
That's
two lawyers and an economics professor walked into a bar. Is that it? Yeah.
I've never heard that one before.
Yeah.
He said death. I was like, I don't do taxes and I don't do wills and estates.
That's right.
So I'm an entertainment and technology lawyer, Toronto-based, Wharton graduate. Before I went to law school and during law school, repped hockey players. Then just sort of continued my practice, which is a mix of entertainment, media, sports. My partners are Phil Curry, who's an economics professor at the University of Waterloo, and I.J. Polansky, who is a Harvard law grad, practices law in Washington, D.C., and spent a number of years as a high-stakes professional poker player. So we're a bit of an eclectic crew. We bring different perspectives.
And you all love hockey, though.
We all love hockey.
Yes, that's got to be underscored. You guys aren't here just because the numbers and it's cold and it's clinical and it's mathematical, though it's all that. It's also you just love the game. You're crazy about it. And you're trying to, see it through a different perspective to see if there are trends?
Yeah, we're just looking for a different way of understanding the game that we've all been watching since we were little kids. And we write a weekly column in the Toronto Star, which also runs on Bloomberg Sports. In the summer, we're doing it every other week just because there isn't as much to talk about. But we'll be back to every week in the season. And, you know, it's something we spend a ton of time on in addition to our day jobs, just because we love the sport and we love the material. And when I started working with IJ and Phil, you know, I spent a ton of time, you know, arguing with a half dozen friends who are rabid hockey fans. And now I just, you know, talk hockey with a larger audience. So we also have a website where we run some additional content if there's extra stuff we want to talk about. We have the exciting URL, DEPTHockeyAnalytics.com.
Very exciting.
That's definitely something that's going to stick in people's minds.
There you go.
And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I occasionally tweet, and I'm at Ian_DOHA. So at Ian_Doha, which interestingly enough means every single one of my tweets is retweeted by Qatar Airlines for some reason.
No, it isn't.
It's the most bizarre thing in the world.
Oh, that's cool.
They're my biggest fans.
Well, of course, Doha being the city. Right. And
being the capital city of Qatar.
Man, you should get like free passage there or something, because, you know, it's a bubbling hockey hotbed. It's bubbling under, but it's getting there. Okay, so we got you here to talk about just your perspective on some of the stuff going on here in the next two segments, son. And if people go, oh, no, I don't want to hear about advanced. He's just talking hockey. He's just bringing in something different to the table. I'm amazed at the pushback from some of the older folk. Maybe not. As I get old, that happens. All right, get off my lawn. But we're just talking hockey. You're just bringing a different, not even all that different, just a few different shades of color to the discussion. I hear a lot from people. And younger folks, too, should know better, that, oh, you can't tell anything with advanced stats. You can't measure a heart. And I'm thinking, okay, he can't measure how he makes another guy better. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I don't know about that. If their puck possession is up, which probably leads to more possession in the offensive zone, which may lead to more shots on net, which leads to more goals and assists and plus minus and all that stuff, then I probably can measure some guy's effect on a guy, can't I?
You absolutely can. I mean, you know, one of the things, and I'll date myself, but I'm 40, so I'm not that young anymore. But I mean, nobody would sort of say, "Hey, no." I mean, Yeri Curry made Wayne Gretzky's career. You know, Gretzky would be nothing without Curry. You know, those are conversations you always have about who makes whom better.
They both made each other better. If you remember, Curry was an amazing defensive player too. So,
We'll put that aside.
No, we won't put it aside.
Oh, okay.
I want to jump in on that because I find that's a fallacy. He makes him better. Any good team in any sport, if you got a line going or a combination, they all play off each other, don't they? There's no doubt that Wayne Gretzky was the more superior player, but we're not talking this is Warren Young playing with Mario Lemieux. This is Yeri Curry. He's a very good player.
That was the next example I was going
to
give
you. Your lawyers take too long to get to it, but go ahead.
But the thing is, I mean, you know, we now have the ability to actually measure a whole bunch of things that are going on in the ice. And one of the problems for a lot of people in the advanced statistics world is goals are not frequent events, particularly in today's NHL.
Right.
So when you have a guy who gets 22 goals, it's hard to know whether or not his baseline is really 16 goals or maybe it's 28 goals. And so one of the things we all look at is shots. And when you start to tease players apart and you start to, you know, go down this rabbit hole, you start to say, okay, we can actually track what guys are doing with the players they play most frequently with. So one of the things we look at a lot are called wowies, which are with or without you. So you look at what players do with each other and what players do with other guys. And so you can start to tease apart guys like IJ's favorite example, Patrice Bergeron, who just everybody, including Zdeno Chara, has significantly better puck possession when they play with the guy. Mm-hmm. And the guy's just a beast.
Yeah.
And if you were just sitting watching, you'd be like, well, I don't know. He's not that big for a defensive
guy. That's right. Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be that tough. Well, he's a Frenchie, and we don't like Frenchies. Yeah, well, They're not tough.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, unless they're goalies. And so to be able to watch the game and then to tease it apart with useful information, you start to say, okay, is Patrice Bergeron really a super stud? Well, actually, he is, and here's why. And it's no different from looking at goals, assists, points, plus, minus, penalty minutes, if you think those are useful as an indicator of toughness. So it's just really taking the tools that people have and putting them through a framework. And then if you come away with the conclusion is, you know, there are a bunch of guys who I think were just trying to grab headlines, but they came up with a metric called Thor, which sounds nice. And, you know, the conclusion they came away with was that Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin were not among the top 150 forwards in the NHL. Now, that's just silly.
I was going to say, that's dumb.
Yeah. And I think they put that out there to get their names in the Washington Post, and Neil Greenberg in the Post talked about it, et cetera.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if those are the conclusions you're reaching, then you're in scary territory. But if you're coming away and saying, no, actually, I now have a framework, you know, through which I mean, nobody kept advanced stats in the days when Rob Zamner was the guy who, you know, made the Olympic team and everyone scratched their head.
96, yeah.
You know, it would be interesting to see if Rob Zamner actually did look good on paper, or if he was a guy who just, you know, a few guys in the stands took a shine to for reasons that are difficult to explain.
There you go. Ian Cooper sitting
there.
Great
example, Rob Sam.
It is a good one. It was surprising at the time. But again, a hockey team is a whole different elements go into the soup in the mix. So is that what was behind the thinking then, Mr. Cooper, when the Toronto Maple Leafs last week hired Kyle, is it Dubas? Is that how you say his name?
Dubas, yeah.
Who had been the GM of the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds in the Ontario Hockey League, for those who don't know. He's now an assistant GM to Dave Nonis. A lot was made in the city about the hiring because, what, is he 28?
Yep.
Oh, that's, I mean, really, that is young at that stage to be a boy wonder, I guess, that we have to tab him with that. Sorry, Kyle. For a team as iconic as the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have not been at all successful in recent memory. What, one playoff appearance and a big collapse since 05-06. Brendan Shanahan has come in and it's his first big move. And Dubas is known for embracing this not new way, just again, more fleshed out way of looking at statistics. All that made him an interesting hire. Were you surprised? You think it's a good hire from what you know?
So we had heard some rumblings that the Leafs were looking to do something in the off season. So I wasn't entirely surprised. I think it was a great hire. One of the challenges, I'll be talking about it in this week's column, is what happens next. Because one of the things that, Leaf fans are this odd mix of, bizarrely patient and horrifically impatient. So
yes, sometimes the same person. Yes.
So it's been almost 50 years.
Yeah.
And it always feels like a championship is just around the corner. And so there's this weird, feeling of, well, we got to win right now rather than let's take a step back. Let's hit reset. Let's acknowledge that there are a lot of things that need to change. And if the team absolutely tanks, hopefully we actually get that, top two pick and haven't traded it away already. So I think that was a Tyler Seguin reference. So I think.
So Tukarask is looking pretty good these days, too.
Well, not as good as Justin Pogge and the Razor.
Yeah, you're right.
So, there are some things that sting Leaf fans. And I think having a guy in there who can be a little bit more systematic and who has done it before at a very young age and really did revolutionize things in the OHL. And I can tell you, there is a ton of interest right now in the OHL in advanced statistics, particularly because of what Kyle did. And we've had a lot of conversations among ourselves about, this bunch of 40-year-old guys, right? So, this isn't 26-year-olds saying we should be running NHL teams too. And, we said, well, the experience thing, Phil Curry, my colleague, who's a labor economist, always has an interesting view of things. And he came at it and said, look, experience is a proxy. Age is ultimately a proxy for experience. And if you think about advanced statistics, there aren't very many experienced hands at it. If you actually look at what's going on in the NHL, a lot of what teams are doing is data collection, but it's not really clear how much hard analytics are happening within NHL teams. I know a lot of teams are putting groups together, and we've spoken to some of the groups, and some of them are really smart people, but a lot of them are just have been happening over the past couple of years. And so, Kyle really built something out of nothing in the Sioux, invented it in his head in terms of how he's going to collect the data, found the team to do it, which was, a ticket sales guy and an intern and him doing it by hand, and then actually sat down and said, okay, let's crunch the numbers. There aren't that many people who have done that, and there aren't that many people who have done that who are looking for jobs. So it was a great hire, but there are a few challenges, and I don't know how much time we got before we got a break.
Oh, we got time. Go into the challenges.
So challenge number one is he's an assistant GM. So, Nonis is still the GM and Carlisle's still the coach. And you've got a bunch of guys who have been playing for Carlisle who have been, coached a certain way. And no team sort of sits down and Dubas talked about this a little bit as well, when he was hired and said, look, I don't sit down and talk the language of advanced statistics to hockey players. But what I have to do is take the things I'm seeing in the numbers and figure out how to communicate it in this is how you need to play to do things differently.
Right.
So quit chipping it off the glass, carry the puck into the zone, et cetera, et cetera. You've got a bunch of guys who have been playing a very different style of hockey. And you've got a bunch of guys like David Clarkson, who I think was a contractual misfire. Phaneuf, we can argue about, but is expensive. So you've got a bunch of guys on this team who have been playing a different style of hockey, along with some big contracts you'd love to get rid of. And you've got, the two big jobs run by people who are highly skeptical of this. So it's not going to change overnight. The other piece of the puzzle, I think, is all of this stuff takes time. And you've already heard Kyle talk about, you need time to make changes and, just getting people to buy in. And then the reality is just you need time for the numbers to play out.
Yeah.
So if you go into a casino and you have a lucky night playing blackjack, there are all sorts of people who can't count cards and don't realize they were lucky. Play enough blackjack, the math catches up with you. play enough hockey, even if you're doing everything right, it takes a while for the math to play out. Leaf fans saw that last season, where the advanced stats people were going nuts saying this is not sustainable. And the fans were saying, you guys are idiots. The team's winning. And then it finally came crashing down.
It did. I was at those games, and I don't need advanced stats to tell you they were getting wildly outshot, and you cannot sustain that.
Yep.
And all you're doing is just fleshing out what I'm seeing with my eyes, right?
Yep. So the other challenge to that is, you know, you can do everything right. The New Jersey Devils were a top five possession team 2 years in a row. They were doing everything right. And they just had some bad shootout luck. They didn't make the playoffs. What did the Devils do? They went out and hired, you know, a guy named Sonny Mehta to be their director of hockey analytics. So it takes a lot of courage for a team to buy into this and stay the course, even if it's not working out. I don't know if the fans and the organization will give them the space. And then the last piece of it is the OHL is not the NHL.
Right.
And so if you're the only guy doing this in the OHL, you can get a lot of returns pretty quickly. But there are a lot of teams doing this in the NHL, and some of them are doing it very well. So
I was going to say, why advertise it? Why not just do it and keep it yourself? Just say, well, we've hired somebody. Why even make a big deal about it? Why not just do it? It's not like, you know, when you're, I know, I'm going to World War II example. We're going to invade Normandy, and here's what we're going to do. No, I'm just going to plan behind the scenes. You know what I mean? It just don't show my hand.
Well, I think the Leafs, I mean, they did this last summer. So this is the second big front office off-season hiring. And I think there really is a sense in Toronto of, you know, we're playing to the fan base and we need to keep them engaged.
And that's very right. That's very right. They want information 25 hours a day. One more before we go to break here, Ian. And I probably answer it myself here, but again, you flesh it out for me. It kind of reminds me of an arms race. I have to have this. You have to have that. Before you know it, everyone's going to have this. So you sort of equal each other out unless the guy doing it is able to glean something someone else isn't. It all depends how it's merged into the hockey front office, how the GM and the scouts work on it. That's what it's going to be, because if everyone has the new shiny F-14, or I guess F-22 now, then everyone's got an F-22. So you sort of negate each other. It's all how you use it then, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, it's an efficient market, and, you know, this will hurt Leaf fans because they've been cheering for the team, but you know, the Leafs were one of the great benefactors of the rest of the league. The Leafs were just covering their ears and saying, look, you know, we're not interested in this stuff, and everyone else gets to feast on it. So, you know, if you're playing catch-up and in an arms race, you now start say, are we necessarily the best, or are we just, you know, hitting that baseline where we can compete? And now the real challenge is how do you make a better mousetrap than everyone else?
And that's always been the trick. Anything you can do to get a leg up on somebody, that's continuing in business, in life, in sports, and in whatever. Ian Cooper from the Department of Hockey Analytics sitting in with Peter and I. In the next segment, I want to talk about that. Let's deal with the Colorado Avalanche right away. A lot of people say who deal with this, their puck possession numbers were did not indicate that they would be that high in points. They won a lot of one-goal games. Talk about sample sizes off the air. They had 82 games. What would they do coming up this season? You don't know, but let's just kind of look at them as an example of, can you buck the trend, and for how long can you? And maybe we'll just throw teams at you, and people write this down, then we can laugh at Ian later. Or we'll give them credit if it's due. Because nobody knows. You play the games, but it's not that nobody knows. You have an example. You know when a stock's not going to do well for the most part, right? You're not sure how well a stock's going to do, but you're in the ballpark, right? Or you're in the arena, right?
I think it's easier to have a conversation about hockey teams than stocks.
Okay. From experience, right? It is Hockey Today. Glad you're with us. Ian Cooper sitting in with Mick and Peter. Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. It's Hockey Today, Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Mick and Peter with you today and for the week. Hope you stay with us. And, of course, throughout the day, when Scotty and Boomer and the crew and all the night crew and all that keep you up to date on what may happen.
I'll stop here. Scotty's away.
He's away. Scotty's always away.
Scotty's
just
away,
a robot.
Yes. So Boomer will be in, and then I'll also preview and promote that it's beginning of summer previews on the Power Play. We've done this for the last number of years. Summer
Already?
Previews.
Isn't it too early?
No, it's summer.
Then
summertime.
he can do autumn previews.
Yes, and then we do the real previews in September. So summer previews. That's why it's called summer previews.
Boomer's got it figured out. And right now, Ian Cooper, who's got it figured out, he says no. He's not claiming anything. Department of Hockey Analytics. We'll get you and your two buddies on, your compatriots on, when the War Room's on, hopefully, for season 9, late September, and we'll look at the 14-15 season. Right now, we're just kind of... just an overall view. We mentioned the Colorado Avalanche going to break, and you and I fleshed it out a bit during the break. So now you need to take the conversation and put it on the air because, again, that was a good one. The knock against Colorado was, it's a rookie head coach, and they're all playing for him the first season. Varlamov, who was he's a good goalie, but he's not really a Vezina candidate goalie, though he was this season. He played over his head. They won a lot of one goal games. The stats seem to prove that. Bear that out. They weren't high in the puck possession. So all this stuff's going to come and back and bite them because 82 games. We keep talking about sample size. That's good for one season, but what are they going to do for the next few seasons? Well, you said yourself, Ian, a lot of very good young players there who are just getting better. How many points did they have? 115, 116. They had 112 points, second highest total in the West, and they led the Central Division. I can't see why they're going to miss the playoffs this season. Though there are a lot of teams better in the West, it's going to be a traffic jam of good teams. A lot of good teams are going to miss the playoffs in the West, I believe. Is Colorado going to be one of those teams?
So missing the playoffs, so there's a big gap between being a real contender and missing the playoffs.
There is.
I mean, I think...
Step back?
I think there's definitely a step back for them. You know, they've got you know, some good young players, but, I mean, they have not, at least to date, shown that they, you know, are a great possession team. And one of the things you worry about when you see that is... you know, and you're going to throw your shoe at me, but you start to worry, is that a deficiency in a coaching system?
But you know what? I won't, because some people said that right away, that it was not smoke and mirrors to Patrick Waugh, but maybe it's not all cracked up to be. We need to see a little more time with that.
Yeah.
And he won coach of the year.
I know. That's why I said you were going to, and I know you picked him.
Because I have to, I don't do it. I do it by the sample size given to me, 82 games. I thought he was the guy that managed to get his team to play a certain way. I wasn't voting for the next 10 years as a coach. You understand what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Because I thought of that at the time. You were in my head, you bastard.
I like that. I'm making change.
Yeah, you are.
One person at a time.
There you go.
But no, so I think, I mean, that is a concern, and that may be, again, just a product of you had a good young team that had some good luck and, you know, wanted to do some things better and will become a better possession.
What do you mean by good luck? Do you not create luck in sports? And, you know, we talk puck luck, bounce, a ball bounces in football. Those things happen, but a lot of times it's how you react to it and what you do with it, right?
Yeah, I mean, so, and luck always makes me, you know, we use luck a lot.
A lot.
If you prefer, we can call it randomness. And the way I like to think of it is, you know, there's a distribution of possible outcomes, and there's a most likely outcome. And if you have enough games, you're going to get to the most likely outcome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I go back to, you know, my blackjack example. You walk into a casino, you play a few hands, you might win. But the odds are you're going to lose. And if you play enough, you will, you know, without counting cards, and you play a perfect system, then, you know, you're giving up, you know, 0.65% or whatever to the casino if you're playing in an 8-deck shoe. And that's just, you know, that's not me being a mean person. That's just the way the numbers work.
Yep. And that's so, how they stay in business.
And so I think with the Avalanche, I mean, you know, if you have a, you know, if you have Patrick Waugh in net, and I actually wrote about this during the playoffs, you know, Patrick Waugh got a little confused and thought he was between the pipes rather than behind the bench. If you have Patrick Waugh in net, you probably can give up more opportunities, or Dominic Hasek. If you've got that level of skill, you can. But there aren't that many guys in the history of the NHL who are that good. And even if you do the math, you say, well, how many other incremental opportunities can I give up before, you know, Dominic Hasek gets scored on just as much as the next guy?
Sure.
And when you got Semyon Varlamov in net, I have a lot of questions because I've got a goalie who, you know, he's not that young and he hadn't to date shown himself to be, you know, that level of elite caliber goalie. So you say, I have a pretty good goalie. I got a good young team. I gave up a lot of possession. My pretty good goalie stood on his head, caught up with us in the first round of the playoffs against a better team, a better possession team. And, you know, what's going to happen this season? Oh, and I lost, you know, a guy who admittedly had a season that was probably a fair bit better than he's going to have next season. I looked at Paul Stastny and I said, he's a guy I wouldn't have rushed to sign, not because I don't like him as a player, but because I think he was coming off a season that was better than he's had in the past.
Yep.
And I have some questions about how's he going to do it without Landeskog and MacKinnon and guys like that. So, you know, I think the Avalanche at the end of the year, I think they'll have a step back. Do I think they'll miss the playoffs? There's a lot of room between step back and missing the playoffs.
There is, but a lot of teams got better below them, too. Man, see, we need more time. Ian, this is good. If we don't talk to you, let's get you in with your two fine, I'll say helpers, but they would bristle at that, wouldn't they? Compatriots.
They would kick both of us in the teeth.
Yes, your two comrades in late September. Ian Cooper from the Department of Hockey Analytics. That's where you can find it. Just put in a search engine. It comes up. Department of Hockey Analytics, DOHA. And you get those free flights to where?
To Qatar. So it's at @Ian_DOHA if you wish to follow me on Twitter.
Nice. Peter, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Keep it here all day long. We're glad you listen. SiriusXM NHL Network Radio.